Thank you so much for listening to the Midlife Rewired podcast. If this content is useful to you, please subscribe, rate, and share with your friends and loved ones.
Brian, thank you for having me.
Yeah, brother.
And hello, everybody.
Yes, man. So, Monty's back, and the first time Monty was here was, we released that one just before your show, which was last weekend. So,
yep.
First off, brother, congratulations. It was fucking great.
Thank you.
Man, I mean, I was at the first one, the Second City show. You told me that wasn't your favorite, but
it was like my worst. Yeah.
But really, like the difference was huge, and all of the talent there were great. The woman that you actually were before, I was worried about you because she was really good.
Yeah.
Really good. I'm like, okay, that's a tough act to follow. Right up there, and it was amazing.
And so. Kind of matched up with it, like almost matched up with it. Yeah. I mean, she's a professional.
Yes.
Yeah.
What she said, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, she had some great content with her husband being on the CEO of the Olympic committee and all that. So all that funny shit she was saying about that. So it was good, but it was great. So like, what did you do? What would you say is there? Because that wasn't that large of a time stretch between the first and the second.
You know what it is? So the show that you saw, and I know I've talked to you about this like maybe 10 times because you were in the audience, and I really, it makes me happy when you and a couple other people are happy, but like you were there and you and I had just started connecting on a deeper level and you showed up, which made me feel great. And then the guy, the host of the show, who was also our instructor, that show was the graduating class. That's what that was about.
Okay.
And he comes back just before I go on, just like the guy that went on before me, he comes to the, he goes, oh, wow, this is a really tough crowd. This is a really, you know what I suggest? Just go through your material and stick to the material. And so like, I basically turned the part about me that I want to share and the part that I think people want to be exposed to or want to feel, I had to turn that off and I just had to go through technical material. And fortunately I had all the material remembered and everybody was smiling. But I felt like everyone in the audience didn't give themselves permission to laugh. But like, I know you laughed. I heard, and my friends were laughing. And there's another guy who has probably, who identified with like the partying. He was laughing and everyone said it was a great show, but I was not happy with the way I connected with the audience. So what did I do? I started watching more and more comedy. And, there's a guy, Anthony Jeselnik. He's got a very dark material, but his timing is impeccable. So just even like while I'm talking about it, I learned to slow down. I learned to pause. Like, for example, guys, I learned I was allergic to alcohol. I had pretty much break out in cocaine.
Yes.
Right. And so like, but if I say, if I say it too fast, the punchline happens too fast.
Right.
People are laughing and I'm almost at the end of my punchline for the next joke. And so anyway, that's the delivery of that experience, I guess. Yeah, I'm going to add something else to that. There's a tapping technique called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. I think you're familiar with it. There's TFT, Thought Field Therapy, and there's EFT. They're both the same shit. You tap meridian points on your body. Tapping for anxiety, tapping for depression, tapping for fear of public speaking. I did that along with visualizing myself with my shoulders relaxed, delivering a show, and what used to be my heart rate rising up to 172, you know, knowing myself, it doesn't go, it's fine. And you saw from the last show, like the music was playing, I was drinking water and I was just like, well, I'll start when I'm ready to start. These guys can wait.
Right.
Not in a disrespectful way. And more of, I'm just going to just settle into the,
So confidence.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was just, to me, it was just a much different version. I mean, the first one was great. This was really good. So, I mean.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It makes me feel really good.
So, you know, it's interesting with creativity because, you know, I think that being in finance, you know, you're maybe creative about getting somebody a mortgage who doesn't deserve one.
Absolutely.
Potentially, but not the kind of artistic creativity that this really is, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, do you have a process to come up with all this shit? Like, do you do?
So I usually start my shows with all of the stuff that I do is real. Everything I talk about is real. If I exaggerate, I'll let you know. My process is like, I just, if something is funny or something is interesting or something is irritating or something is like any emotion, I end up writing it down. I was in the abortion clinic with a friend to support her. And man, I wrote a whole thing on that. And people were laughing. And there's a few people that said that they didn't like it. And the thing is, it's not about the abortion clinic. It has nothing to do with anyone getting an abortion. And no disrespect or I don't have any views on it either. I don't know enough about that. But I went in there saying, wow, like I walked into the abortion clinic. I looked around and there's all these confident, calm women. And I thought, wow, what a great place to meet a significant other. Ability to remain composed under pressure, right? Calmness. And, you know, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't want to use condoms. And I think given the right circumstances, they probably don't want me to, you know, pull out, yeah, right? Right? So like I was just laughing and giggling to myself. And I told my friend that who was about to go in for the procedure, and she enjoyed the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Right. And I was, and it cheered her up. Now she's like, okay with that kind of dark sort of risky comedy. So that's an example of how I write material, right. or like the parking lot attendant guy, like, Indian people or Asian people. It's just very funny. Cultural stuff is very fun to laugh at. And I do it with love. I don't hate anybody, you know, like I can't think of anybody that I hate, any culture that I hate.
So I guess, you know, so at the end of the day, I guess it's just about really be more aware of noticing all these little things that we usually kind of skim over, and you can really dissect them and tell a story around it.
Yeah. Well said. And what I learned how to do was save the best part for the punchline, as opposed to, like, you almost want to tell everybody the funny part first because you're so excited about it. So I learned to just like relax in front of the crowd and just trust that they're going to understand and they're going to enjoy the process. And I'm really glad it worked out. Yeah.
And just to close off this stuff
for
comedy, but I think it's really cool that you do a shout out to mental health as well. And that's sort of part of you're using the platform to create some awareness around that.
So I enjoy it. I enjoy comedy. I enjoy making people laugh. I love it when people are happy. I'm kind of like invested in other people being happy, and it's a blessing and a curse at the same time. But the whole reason I started into this was to promote mental health, to at least raise awareness for mental health. I call it mental fitness. So that's one. And two, I was so embarrassed that I had a drug problem and an alcohol problem. I was so embarrassed that I had an addiction. You know, I don't even, in some of the places that I go, like you have to identify in the microphone as an addict. And the word addict to me, comes along with so much judgment and stigma. I don't want to, I could go into so much detail, like homeless, whatever. Yeah. If one person out there hears what we're talking about and DMs one of us and says, hey, can you point me in the right direction to get some help? I like one person over the next 10 years, if one person is saved because it's a life-threatening illness, then I've done my job.
Yeah.
Now, I want more than that, but even one is fine. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So, I think it's huge. And, you know, I've just been sort of pondering and with discussions with mostly guys recently about that and emotions, and you know how guys don't necessarily share things that are on their mind. You know, they like to bottle it all up. I'm fine, right? And they don't communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, losing a brother this year to mental illness, it's like for me, that's always in the back of my mind now in terms of communicating with people. And I'm like, fuck, I'm just putting it all out there. And if I think somebody not feeling good or I'm not feeling good, we're going to talk about it, you know. And you know, men don't share those things very easily, at least in, you know, the way I grew up in my culture. So it's cool that we're bringing awareness to that.
Yeah, Ben's passing, I've known him for a really, really long time. It's funny because I can feel myself choking up just a little bit, but I won't, I'm able to communicate. I've known him for a super, super long time, like for 20 years, but more recently got exposed back to him through you and some of our mutual friends. And I started having dreams about him after he passed. And, it's just so upsetting because I wish there was something I could have done. I wish, you can't take responsibility for everybody's else's stuff, but I just really wish that there was something that I could have done. And if there's something that I can do, and what we can do. Incidentally, I wanted to tell you something. Our last podcast, because of your healing energy, your vibe, that was the first time I came out publicly about the addiction and alcoholism.
I didn't know that.
Because
of your comedy, I thought that was sort of...
Not to the extent that I did, right? Like, what do I say? People think I'm joking. Like, I break out of cocaine. Right. And then I do mention... Publicly, in terms of the intensity, like I've joked about it, I've mentioned it, but we went into depth, and it was just the right time, it was the right place, it was the right vibe, and I'm really glad that I did, because what it's done is it's just like it's already done now. Like I don't know what, like the fire's been lit,
right?
And so now it's just propelling me forward, and lots of crazy things are happening as a result of this being part of my mission. It's not just about depressing talk about addiction.
Right.
It's about making people laugh. It's about a bunch of things.
Sure.
But anyway, I don't want to kill too much time on that.
Anyway, thanks for being brave and
well, thanks.
Opening up like that, brother, because I know that you must feel a little lighter too, you know, feeling,
yes.
You know, letting some of that go and saying, hey, put it out there and you know.
I'm nodding and like, we're doing a podcast. I'm nodding. Like, can you guys see me nodding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great, brother. Okay, so we had breakfast a couple weeks ago, and I made a comment about fitness and diet and stuff, and I said that you look like you put a couple pounds on.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that. I appreciate it.
The bus here, brother, but,
it's so true.
But I mean, I'm just curious about that because it's part of like if I with all my friends, people I just like see if somebody is like you know, maybe putting weight on or not feeling good or whatever, we talk about it, you know? So any comments around that at all? Has it just been diet lately or what do you,
you know what? So I'm training really, really hard.
Yeah.
So I am putting on muscle, but I'm not exactly following the diet, and I'm surrounded by the top people. You're one of them. My friend Mike, he's another one of them. And, I have all the people around me, I'm just struggling I've been able to turn it on in the past where I flip a switch and it's like follow all six meals or all five meals or whatever the situation is, morning cardio, after post-workout cardio, the whole recipe. I've been able to follow the whole recipe. The difference is, and I reflected on this before I came here. I didn't know you were going to ask me for sure, but, it's the spiritual stuff that I'm doing a little bit less of. I'm meditating less. I'm doing less sort of service work for people in need of help. I find that when I'm spiritually healthy, I'm mentally healthy. There's an acronym called TFAIR: thoughts, feelings, actions, results, experience. So if my thoughts are not always the best, then my experience. So that's the last thing I got to work. And I'm also really focused on business.
Right.
I'm not one of those guys who can do everything. Like, so when the last time I got in really, really good shape, and I think you've seen pictures,
we
were around each other a lot.
Yeah.
I wasn't really doing much mortgage business. I was just doing whatever came in,
right.
and it wasn't even a lot. And I was doing mostly recovery, mental health related work for myself and for others.
Right.
And I was like really happy, but then I'm like, all right, it's time to turn on the business because it's time to turn on that business side of myself. And I did. So I'm just trying to balance it all out. Do you have any suggestions for me?
Well, I mean, you just said balancing it out, I think is the approach, right? But I mean, I think that absolutely for me anyway, the more I sort of travel down this path, I realized that letting off on the meditation side and the time to reflect is probably not wise because everything else sort of compounds around that.
So
if you're not in that great place, sort of things will fall off. And it's tough striking that balance. I mean, I think that's probably one of the biggest issues people have, especially people who are successful. They have great success, but some areas kind of fall off. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's just, habits, routines, and awareness around it. I mean, I don't mean to, I feel kind of, I don't want to feel awkward about spinning that up, dude.
I'm glad you did. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it's like, you know, I've seen you look different, you know.
Different, Monty.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, fuck, like self-care, like, you know, you, as you just said as well, I think that it's fucking important. Like, business is important too, and I mean, absolutely, but I mean, I think just making some adjustments to some habits potentially, or you know, finding that space where you just protect that for self-care, for that alignment, and then, you know, you do your training and all those other things, and as long as you're eating and training consistently at that point, it should be out of balance. I think more of it.
Yeah, what's coming up to me, I'm going to have to listen to this podcast because I don't even know who's saying the words I'm about to say, right? You know, sometimes that happens. When you're on the spiritual path, when I'm on a spiritual path, what I've noticed is I have to do those spiritual type of exercises to stay spiritually fit, because you get access to all this new and more energy. And like, what do I do with all that energy? And I feel this overwhelm of like great energy. So I'll go eat French toast.
Right.
The other thing you're saying, self-care, what you made me feel like is self-love.
Yep.
So why is it that I'm not loving myself too? Because I really want that it's not like I'm a fat pig, guys, but like, I mean, I am caring about an extra, if I was to be really, really critical, I'd say about an extra 20 pounds. And why is it that why am I not loving myself? Like, why don't I love myself? I think that's what I'm going to ask myself after this podcast. I might reflect on this evening, and I'm going to ask, what's going on here, Monty? Or it could just be the lack of the routine that I was following before. There's a recipe that I used before. Now, maybe I need to change that recipe. Maybe that's why it's not clicking as well. I don't know, but I'll figure it out and I'll share.
Yeah,
I'll share about it.
I know for myself, the days that I don't actually protect the time and find that quiet time in the morning to meditate, visualize, journal, just a little time in the morning to really sort of create that space, I could be a completely different person that day because of that, and make very different decisions.
I agree.
I said something today about kindness, and
I saw it.
You know, there's something right there. I mean, if I have my day sort of set, I start in that place. So easy for me to feel good and be kind and be conscious of that. But it's also easy if you wake up late, you're in a rush, you got a meeting, you run right into it, it's stressful, you pick up your email, shit's going down, and that's life, right?
Yeah.
But then how kind are you going to be then to somebody who is maybe not that kind to you, right? You're probably going to match that energy.
It's going to be hard. Yeah. You're right. I think the biggest thing I learned through this process of becoming free of the things that ailed me, alcohol, drugs, was service to others, being like you're saying, being kind to others. We're speaking the same language, just different words. What, like when I wake up in the morning, what am I doing for others today? And what's funny, the more I'm doing for others, it seems like, well, you're going to end up like, you know, without any money, or you're going to end up like without any time for yourself. I actually end up having more time for myself. I end up having wonderful clients to work with. I end up having a better life by concentrating on other people's happiness. So that's another thing that was a big focus of mine.
Yeah. So it's interesting when you have the awareness that of that, right? So it's just really just taking some responsibility and action for it, I think. It's like people get in their own way all the time, and then we get stuck into certain things. I notice that more now when I do start to get into those little traps where I get fucking ruminating about things, and then something really sets me off with business, and then, you know, you're not feeling good at that point, right? And
when you're not feeling good, do you ever reach for like something sugar based or like a big piece of lasagna? Do you sugar. Comfort eat?
Yes. Yeah. I'm more aware of it now, but I definitely tend to overeat.
Okay.
Now I don't, you know,
what do you do in the moment? What do you do in that moment where you know that you're like about to do it or not do it? And for me, like I could spend like a few minutes like deciding whether to do it or not do it. What the time that you succeeded in doing the right thing, what did you do?
That's a good question. I think that when I've already like cut the cake and it's on a plate, I usually eat it.
It's over. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
over. One thing for me, it's, you know, I don't smoke pot during the week anymore. Mm-hmm. And that was a big one for me. And so just part of that thing, that would also be something that would kind of taking me away from my feelings, kind of numb me out a little bit. I mean, there's times I would smoke it for, you know, to sort of stimulate the creativity, to look at something from a different perspective.
Sure.
But you get the fucking munchies from that stuff.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So if it's there, then now you're making bad decisions, you know, so...
Yeah.
But to sort of to look at it, like, what is the thought process? I really try to separate what I'm doing from why and where and why and what I'm feeling. And you know, it's just creating awareness around those feelings and saying, okay, this isn't going to make me feel good. And the other thing is, too, also knowing how I'm going to feel afterwards.
There you go. Okay, so that...
So that's probably... I kind of got there after...
Yeah, yeah, no, that's cool, yeah. Way,
but
yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm able to sort of feel how I'm going to feel after I eat that there. And I'm going to lay there and I'm like, why did I do that? I'm going to physically feel bad. I know it's not good for me. And I'm also going to be not giving myself a lot of self-love at that point. I might be talking negatively to myself, which
okay.
is not healthy.
So there you go. I know that I wanted to ask you this... Because you're experiencing phenomenal results in the physical fitness arena and a bunch of other arenas, and I'm like, how is this guy doing that? Because we have the same sort of extreme personality, we've discussed a number of times. So that's cool. So I'm gonna try and bring awareness to how I'm gonna feel after eating it. But actually, even after eating, I'm like, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
What that lasagna? Yeah, I'm like, I'm so glad I did it. But myself,
treat yourself though too. I mean, when you earned it. Then you eat it without guilt, and you say, okay, you know what, Friday night, I'm going to go fucking nuts. I'm doing two burgers, fries, and a big dessert, and, you know, and then I feel like shit after, but I'm okay with it mentally.
So once you
And then it gets out of my system for a little bit. But honestly, another big thing for me has been my routine of, like, this no-days-off approach. I've been so guilty in the past of getting momentum with anything, you know, so let's just say training, for example.
Yep.
There's a trip coming up, you know, there's a dock party, there's a beach event, there's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll train really hard till that comes.
Yeah.
When I get on that trip, I just stop training.
Buck
just,
wild.
Just go nuts
10
the whole
pounds.
Time, you know, drinking 24/7. Then I come back and I limp around for a few weeks, and then eventually the next thing's on the radar, and then start to build back up again. Well, that's really tough.
Okay,
you
know, so
that's really tough. So and that applies with everything, with my meditation. You lose momentum without consistency.
If you're too, and also it sounds like I'm hearing, if the regimen is too, if it's too intense, if it's just over the top, it'll be hard to make that a consistent lifestyle.
Right.
Right.
But here's the other thing. When you actually do hard shit on the regular, it actually becomes easier and you get more resilient.
Okay. All right.
You become more resilient.
So that hard regime is your lifestyle.
Yeah. So I mean, I still see my trainer, Michael Greyer, once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And he... Doesn't matter if I'm training for a competition or if it's just another Wednesday. He just beats the shit out of me every single Wednesday. But I used to almost cry in there. I would never let him know. But I mean, I was really struggling to kind of be like in my mind thinking, the fuck am I doing this hard for? I don't need to do this. I actually look forward to that now. It steps up my whole thing.
And I relate.
I become more resilient and I become tougher mentally for it. And physically, mm-hmm. you benefit from that.
Yep.
You know, and... But it, again, it's like, it means I'm going to bed at a good time. It means I'm getting up early every day. It means I'm eating the right foods, mm-hmm. and my head's in the right place, mm-hmm. and I'm doing the right things every day. You know, because bad days come too. Some days you really don't feel like shit. But then if you actually keep that promise to yourself to do that thing every single day that you're going to do, you build more confidence and more resilience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Agreed. Agreed. I relate to all that stuff. The pain threshold becomes more palatable. Your body takes you to the gym. Your body takes you there on Wednesday, and it knows it's going to be going through a really tough workout. The training stuff, my training side, I've got that covered. I train actually with
I know you have. I've seen you train
four times a week. I train with my buddy. He's Mr. Canada. He's a former athlete. A bunch of different things and understands sports psychology. Fuck, man, I just, all I got to do is, and I think maybe I will after this podcast, because now, like, all these people are listening to this, and if I show up on New Year's with, like, a fucking tight shirt, and I look like Homer Simpson, that's not going to be cool, right?
Well, it's probably a bit of diet, and like you said, there's probably some mental alignment there as well with what you're doing. So the new frontier for me, though, has been, discipline is one thing, but sort of, as a dude thinking about healing, starting to really reflect back to my childhood and, mm-hmm. you know, before that little special time when you're maybe just before 7 years old, when you haven't formed your belief systems yet, trying to get back there, you know, and letting go of fears and that healing process. That's a whole new sort of frontier. And, you know, I've stumbled into it through plant medicine and meditation.
Yeah, I know it. I know it.
I mean, it's kind of exciting because it's really interesting to actually start to talk about it more, explore that more within myself. And, you know, so that's the new challenge.
So fears, I'm so glad you brought that up. And that's one of your missions, to help people overcome their fears. I have an example of something that I learned about not too long ago. I remember when I was in high school, there was this new kid. His name was Claudio Escobar. And if Claudio's listening to this, fuck you, Claudio. Captain, I love you, Claudio. Captain of the football team, captain of the soccer team. I see him and my girlfriend at the time, my first love, high school sweetheart. They're smiling and really enjoying each other's conversation. And it was just an observation. I was like, oh, that's interesting. They're really enjoying each other's conversation. And then 2 weeks later, she breaks up with me. And then like a day later, she's now with him.
Oh, just fucking hard on a blender.
Fuck. Yeah. So remember that scene. So now today, although if I have a girlfriend and I don't at the moment, ladies line up, no joking, just totally joking. If I am with somebody that I really care about and I'm really interested in, and we're working on something together, if she's talking to another guy and he's like, you know, like a little bit leaner, like a little bit whatever more, although I'm happy that she's having a good time, another part of me is like really having a really bad reaction to it. And I'm like, and I'm aware enough I'm aware enough to be like, all right, Monty, like, this is, and I'll even talk to her after this, even something like this happened. I was like, yeah, I really had a hard time with you talking to that guy, and fuck, like, what's the big deal? Like, what am I, fucking douchebag? Like, chill out, Monty. Like, I was talking to her about it. And So I think like the biggest thing for me is like, why do I have this fear? So it's like, I have a fear of betrayal or a fear. And then I close my eyes and I'm like, okay, so why do I have this fear? Some people call it access to a supercomputer. Some people say source energy. Some people say God. Why do I have this fear? It doesn't really matter what the fuck you say. And if there is a God that loves us, I don't think that God cares whether you call him or her God or whatever. I don't really, and I'm not pushing any particular belief system. So like, well, why do I have this fear? And then I get taken back to this situation in the rotunda in high school. And then I'm like, oh, that's why I have it. So then that doesn't solve it. That just brings awareness to it. So the childhood thing, that I love that. I love that you brought that up.
Well, it's funny because things just like that affect so many people. And, you know, then we just believe that's who we are. But really, I mean, it's kind of a fucking strange, weird thing that the universe said, okay, your belief systems are mostly going to be developed and crafted and shaped during your childhood.
Yeah.
And then you become forged into that. And you really have to like unlearn those behaviors and reprogram yourself, rewire yourself, really.
Rewire. And so here's a question for you, sort of. So I did the Iboga retreat. Yeah. The Iboga retreat was like, imagine a ski hill with a bunch of carvings, skiers carvings.
Yep.
The Iboga retreat was like a fresh coat of snow, so that you can create new neural pathways, right? And you can
create an
algae. Yeah, you can create new behaviors, new everything, right? New patterns. So I'm starting to notice, like, as each day passes from my last day of the Iboga retreat, I'm starting to notice little things creeping back in, you know, little feelings, yes, little, right. And I'm like, okay, shit. Like, and they did say, like, you don't just leave here. The right. work continue. You have to right. continue to work on it. So yeah. I guess what I'm saying is, there's no shortcuts, man. And I think anybody super, super successful in any area of their life, especially athletes, especially business people, there's no shortcuts. Even, right. yeah. Even in yeah. anything. Yeah.
No, I mean, so that, you know, hashtag no days off, you know, it's usually, if you think about the gym, right? Mm-hmm. It's fucking everything. That's what I've realized now. It's like every single day, this is the work. You got to do the work. The struggle is consistent. You're always fighting gravity. You're always like, it's so you really got to be very fucking clear with your intention and then really set the right behaviors and then do it every single day and then try to enjoy it. Embrace that struggle. You know, there's times you're like, fuck, this is hard. This sucks. But when you do that over time, I've just started to notice that little things start to happen for you, mm-hmm, unfold mm-hmm. for you. Just, and then, you know, then you realize you're actually moving forward, even though it's hard. You're fucking
You're clawing your way up the hill.
Exactly. Yeah. Because when you get up that hill, you look over the top, and there's another fucking hill there. Always.
Okay. Yeah.
I used to
expect it.
Yeah, I used to think, okay, I'll just jump in the fucking hammock and I'm revived, right? And then you realize you start to regress on every front.
No, it's. I think you and I have, and a number of people have been given a glimpse of what it feels like to be at peace. And I've been given that gift a number of times without having done the work. And I feel like that's like a message to say, hey, this is what you can have. You just have to do the work. Here's a little, look, here's a little taste. Because I know you're right. Fucking Monty, you're lazy right. Fuck. You're not going to do the work. So I'm going to, and I'm so ungrateful. I've been given so many what are called spiritual experiences.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was a cool experience. But so doing the work's critical.
You should probably get another iboga retreat in the calendar, or maybe ayahuasca or something.
Yeah,
it's nice to put it in, you know, maybe Q1 of next year kind of thing, because usually that's the runway you need anyway.
I'm thinking about it. I've got something
in the calendar for February. I want to do an episode purely on all of those plant-based experiences.
Okay,
because I've had 4 ayahuasca and 2 DMT experiences.
You're like a black belt in plant-based stuff,
right? Well, you think so, then you realize, well, maybe I've got like a brown belt because there's some fucking real savages out there.
Yeah. There's some guys that take it too far.
Yeah, well, I think at some point, maybe then it becomes a crutch. Like when you do something like that, for me, the cadence has been like once every 2 years kind of thing. And if you're, like you said, then you got to go back when you're finished, and sort of take that new shift in experience and perspective and do the work and integrate, you know, and look at what you learned from that, not just look at that to make me feel better.
That's right. A funny story just popped in my head. We were doing a viewing, or it was a real estate showing. So my business partner, Sean, and I went to go check out this condo. The guy doing the showing for us, construction worker guy who was friend of the owner, he goes, I don't know how it came up, but iboga came up, ayahuasca came up, and then DMT came up. And I'm like, let's smash some DMT right now. He goes, I have some in the car.
Right.
I'm like, there's people now carrying DMT. Yeah. You can explain what DMT is because I don't know as much about it. But if I really wanted to, I could have done DMT with him on the P1 level of the condo building.
Quite a ceremony.
That's
there.
Fucking crazy.
Well, there's DMT vaporizer pens. So DMT is dimethyltryptamine, and there's 2 types, NMDMT and 5-MeO. Both, one, the NMDMT is basically opens the third eye. The 5-MeO opens the crown chakra.
Mm-hmm.
I could go into so much detail from there, but I'll leave it at that. But there are DMT pens that basically give you a low dose, and it almost feels like a kind of a like a psilocybin psychedelic sort of experience. It's a little milder, but I think it's very important with all these things to do them with a proper shaman or neo-shaman.
I agree.
And you know, I don't think anybody should take this stuff lightly. It's medicine, and it's not for fun.
I couldn't believe it.
It's not a party on a Friday night.
Yeah, sure. I couldn't believe it anyway. Yeah.
Well, cool, brother. So I just wanted to close off with just one other thing. And so you mentioned this to me, and I thought it was interesting. So, you said you could change, you could 2x your business at will.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you 2x your business at will? I mean, you hear everyone's 10x to whatever, but I mean, I'm just curious what your perspective on how do you double your business?
It's, it's a little bit of a loaded question, but I will answer it as best as I can because there's a whole 4-week training that I do on it.
Okay.
Yeah. I call it accelerated performance.
You teach the training.
I do. Yeah. I've toyed with giving it away for free, and I've toyed with charging $1,000 per head.
Yeah.
For the 4 weeks, it's worth a lot more than that.
Yeah.
I just give it away for free now. I found that though the smaller groups that paid $1,000 actually took it more seriously.
Absolutely. Yes. Maybe
I have to fucking charge more. No, like you motherfuckers, you guys I'm going to charge you $10,000 for 4 weeks, and I don't care if you do it or not because right. I'm going to do it. But it's a process that I use that I've. So what I do with just about everything. So for example, the first 5 minutes of every client call, I discovered and realized there's things that work and that don't work. So I've condensed the most powerful 5 minutes of every call and I repeat it. I've gotten to a point where I trained a guy in my office to do just that. So he's able to speak at my level for the first 5 minutes and then he runs out of juice. He runs out of steam. But that's enough to get the client to sign an exclusivity agreement with us. That's enough to collect documents, very personal documents. That's enough to get a full package to me as if I'm a doctor looking at the x-ray and then figuring out what to do next for the client. The same way I figured out the first 5 minutes of every call, I figured out, hey man, when the last time I grew my business really fast, what did I do? And then I did a little bit of research, like, is there anybody doing it better than me? And there's some people in the US that have different ways. So I just customized my own program because some of this, I've got a huge fucking beef with like all of this language, you know, like all of this like corporate coachy language, like, you know, Monty, I'd like to acknowledge you for the service you provided us and your organization. Like, just shut the fuck up. Just go, Monty, you know what? I fucking think you're, like, bro, awesome. I really appreciate what you did for us. Use the word bro or don't. You don't have to. I like bro. But, you know, I invite you to be coachable. Shut the fuck up, man. Like, just tell me what you see. You told me I look a little bit fat, bro. I love you for that. You know what I mean? Like my pants, I'm wearing track pants with suit jackets because my pants don't fit.
Right.
And now my suits are starting to get tight. So, you know what I mean? That's just, like, that's my thing. Yeah, I'm doing the street style thing, but really my shit just doesn't fit. Yeah. So, did I answer the question?
Yeah, you did. Well, we can dig into that more later, but
we can do an episode on that.
Fascinating. Exactly. Yeah. I didn't realize you actually created a course. So
yeah.
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 Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking about you last night, brother. I'm reading Wayne Dyer's Your Erroneous Zones, and it was just kind of made me think about today. But
I'm glad you didn't say Erogenous Zones. No, I'm disappointed.
Well, when I first saw the title, I wasn't sure. But
I was thinking about you last night reading about Erogenous Zones. Yeah. That's funny.
But it says, a true barometer of intelligence is an effective, happy life lived each day in each present moment of every day. So that's kind of cool, brother.
That is really cool.
Close with that.
But yeah.
There's a lot of good nuggets in that book. So. Anyway, buddy, thanks so much again for
being brother. Here, man. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Being up again, and hopefully I didn't offend you or anything.
Not at all. No, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for doing this.